Life Audio.
Welcome to the Team Us podcast, where we share how grace, commitment, and cooperation help couples live the everyday moments of marriage together.
Hi, everyone. We're Ted and Ashley Slater. What's easier for you to swallow, criticism or praise? Most of us will say praise. Now step back and think about what you're most often feeding your spouse. Is it criticism or praise? Today, we're going to share how you can be more intentional to praise each other in marriage.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So, Ted.
Yes, my dear.
We have always shared a love for good food, which is why a lot of our dates center around food.
It's true. Sometimes we cook something special at home. I enjoy the process, you know, the different ingredients. We've discovered that you use good quality ingredients, not a multitude of ingredients necessarily.
Yes.
And then sometimes we just go to a restaurant and chat and eat. Yeah, food is a thing. Jesus ate food.
He did. Yes, this is true.
He had some good conversations over food. So.
Yeah, food builds connection. Yeah. Well, I thought it would be fun to talk about some of our favorite shared food experiences. Yeah. So are you up for a round of rapid fire questions?
You can rapid fire. I will respond at my own pace.
Just don't be like one of those sloths in Zootopia.
Okay.
My plan. All right. Favorite dinner and a show meal?
We've seen some good shows. Yes. So, you know, maybe we saw a show in Atlanta, right? At the Fox Theater.
Uh-huh.
And beforehand, we just ate. Was it at that pizza place? That was pretty cool with the family.
So, yeah. Yeah, that was fun. I mean, I was thinking kind of like the Shakespeare Tavern.
Oh, my lands.
When we got to sit in the, what were they?
The seat of excitement.
Yeah.
Something.
Seat of excitement or seat of thrill, because you're really close to the stage and there's lots of fake blood.
By you.
Right. Or the magical dinner.
Not a lot of fake blood in the comedies, but in the tragedies.
Yeah. Yes, there was a lot. Okay. Mm. Favorite fancy restaurant meal?
Well, we ate in Paris. There were some fancy meals there.
That's pretty fancy, just eating in Paris.
In Paris. That was our honeymoon.
Yeah. In the Latin Quarter, Italian food.
Italian French food is the best.
Oh, right. Which is kind of funny.
French Italian food. Yes.
Okay. So, like, a favorite home-cooked meal. This could just be, like, what's one of your favorite things that we take the time to make at home and eat?
You know, I like to make sauerbraten. But I also like when you made this lasagna with bechamel sauce, whatever.
Yes.
And then you made something else, is beef bourguignon.
Uh-huh. Those are all the like recipes that take a lot of time to simmer on the stove and to develop flavor. I haven't made
the sauerbraten takes like 3 days to marinate and then a long time to cook. And then the other ones take a lot of time.
Right. I think sauerbraten is the one we've made most recently. We might have to revisit those other recipes.
Definitely.
Though. Okay. Favorite comfort food meal?
I like fried chicken.
Yeah, you do.
Fried chicken thighs. It's just that or curry.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
You. Are you answering these questions?
I've been getting out of it. Well, I said Shakespeare Tavern.
Yes.
Or Magical Dinner.
Yeah. Magical
right.
Dinner was a... That was...
I like comfort food meal. It's probably when we get Indian takeout. I mean, that's like comfort food or Thai takeout. Those are comfort food meals. Okay, favorite, we saw it on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives meal, because we've gone to several restaurants.
We have. The only one that comes to mind right now is that one big hot dog up in the Rockies.
I was thinking of too.
Colorado Springs.
On the way to like Aspen or something, yeah. Right?
Big hot dog.
I don't even remember if it was good or not, but I do remember going.
Yeah, that's
that was fun. Okay.
Yes.
You think of any others? Mm-hmm.
There's a local place here in Casa Grande called Big House that makes good burgers.
Yes, I have not tried their burgers. I've had their breakfast.
They're good.
All right. Well, back in like, I think it's like 2014 or 15, something happened that disrupted our shared love of food. Like out of nowhere, you came down with a medical condition that affected your sense of taste. What was that called?
This is the weirdest thing. It's called dysgeusia. And it's not lack. It's not where you lose your sense of taste, but where your sense of taste gets skewed. And everything tastes sort of a metallic, I don't know, just a gross metallic flavor. Everything.
And it lasted for like months.
It was months. I don't know what triggered it. It wasn't COVID because that didn't exist at the time. And it's not the thing that people get with COVID.
Right.
It was just a twisting, skewing of my sense of taste. And like we, at that time, one of our favorite like dinner and a movie things was staying at home, cooking crab cakes, right?
I don't know if we were eating crab cakes yet. I think that came later.
Chicken wings, something.
Yeah, I don't remember. Maybe it was crab cakes.
Ribs.
Anyway, we're digressing here.
We are dying. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it was pretty rough.
And see, it was hard for, I mean, it's harder for you, but it was hard for me too, because I felt like we bonded over food so much and suddenly you no longer enjoyed eating.
Yeah.
And it was, felt like a little bit of a loss.
Yeah.
But it took what? That happened. That was for several months, and then your taste eventually came back.
Came back.
But sometimes I still bring you something that actually actually could taste, which was
the one thing that for some reason tasted good was McDonald's breakfast burritos with their salsa.
Yeah. So sometimes I still bring you that if I'm out early.
It's really weird.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, those listening, they might not know what it's like to live with this like appetite killing condition, as I'm going to call it, but they probably do know what it's like to be fed something that's equally hard to swallow. And that's criticism.
Oh, that's a nice segue.
Thank you. Because criticism can taste rancid, right?
Disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, even when it's given under like the best of circumstances, sometimes it's painful to ingest critical words, you know, that point out our faults or judge us.
Sure, if they're true or not true.
Right.
Or if they're not true or if they are, you know.
Yeah. But I think what's interesting is that no matter how much we dislike being fed criticism, the sour taste of it doesn't stop us from criticizing other people. You know, I'm not sure why, but sometimes it seems like it's easier to criticize than praise.
That's the way we're sort of made, isn't it? Or the way we are. I don't know if we were made that way, but yeah, you want to critique something, you want to criticize something, you want to evaluate it. And we tend to evaluate the negative, identify the negative things, just sort of drawn to what's broken and what should be fixed. And
that's an interesting way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we spend so, like you and I, you know, we spend so much time together. I think it's easier with the people that you spend so much time together to notice those things.
Sure. But you think of like a church service, it's easier to critique a sermon and point out the bad things, the things you didn't like or that fell flat, than to like discuss it and pull out the helpful points. I mean, we're bent on critiquing and criticizing.
Right.
It's easy. Anybody could do.
But the thing is, we all need more praise than criticism. I mean, yeah, constructive, love-filled feedback, you know, that can help us grow. I mean, there's a place for that, speaking the truth in love.
Absolutely, if necessary, especially if it's sandwiched.
But negative critique isn't what we need most. Like a few years ago, I actually read an article in the Harvard Business Review. Well, I probably scanned it, but it said that we need at least 5 words of praise for every word of criticism.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a lot, right?
Yeah. There's probably a lot of nutritional, wow, I should have thought of this word first before starting the sentence. Yeah.
I mean, if I think about it, I tend to remember people's criticism of me more than praise. I mean, years later, that's what I will remember. And I have heard someplace, you know, people will remember how you make them feel And I think maybe that's because criticism makes us feel bad. I don't know. But even with things I've written, I remember the negative reviews more than the positive reviews. We won't get into the details of those, but there have been some mean ones.
Yeah.
Okay. So how can we start feeding each other more praise than criticism?
You got to be intentional.
Right. Well, I have some practical points.
You got to be unnatural.
Yeah. You want to go into the practical points and you can pull that in?
Okay.
One, I think we need to adopt a grace-filled perspective. So we've talked about grace a lot on this podcast, but just to refresh, grace is undeserved kindness. And there was one day I was taking a walk and I was listening to albums from the 90s, when I was a teenager. And I think I was listening to a Stephen Curtis Chapman song, the one that's when the sun sets us free, you will be free indeed.
Man, yeah, that one gets me at the end.
And something about, as I was listening, I was thinking, well, the sun sets us free because of God's grace and what he did for us on the cross. And so grace, it unburdens our hearts. You know, it brings us freedom. And I think when we extend grace to each other, we also offer freedom to the other person, freedom from our expectations and freedom from our judgment and personal preferences, because a lot of times I think when we're criticizing and judging each other, it's not because the other person has sinned, it's because they've missed our mark. They haven't done things to fulfill our expectations.
That's interesting that you use the word freedom, because I remember years ago when I wrote my master's thesis on laughter, freedom was associated with laughter and sort of a uplifting of your spirits and stuff. So
interesting. Yeah. I mean, that kind of goes back to our whole thing of a lighthearted marriage and having unburdened hearts. There's an episode on that, folks, if you haven't heard it already. So if we start feeding each other genuine praise, I think it begins by changing our mindset, changing from that natural inclination to criticize and adopting a grace-filled perspective toward our spouse.
Okay.
And I mean, think about the word adopt, because I picked that intentionally. When we adopt something, it's meant to be permanent. God doesn't temporarily adopt us as his children. When people adopt a child, they don't temporarily adopt them. It's a permanent thing.
Right.
And so I think adopting a grace-filled perspective is meant to be a permanent and ongoing lifestyle decision for us.
Okay. I'm going to break the fourth wall. Is that a thing?
I don't think on a podcast that's a fourth wall. On a television show, yes.
In your notes, you wrote, God didn't temporarily select us as his children. He's not just chaperoning us for a few years.
Yeah.
That's a good sentence. You should have said that.
I was trying not to depend solely on my notes and kind of be a little more
chaperoning.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, when you think about it,
right,
it's really interesting, right?
Yes. So adopt.
Yeah. Okay. So one practical way is we can focus on progress rather than perfection, which I know we've talked about before.
Right.
Because
practice makes
progress. Right. Because, I mean, the simple truth is that praise, not criticism, is what encourages us want to continually improve,
Right. You'd rather be honey, flies, vinegar. What's that?
You attract more flies with honey than vinegar? Is it?
I don't know if you want to attract flies. Wait.
No, more. You're right. Yeah.
It's something like that.
We're going to think of it when we're done recording, or in 5 minutes, one of us will go, oh, that's what it was. Okay. Moving on. Okay. So two, check your vocabulary and the tone of your praise. So I'm going to pick on you just a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not really picking on you, but you're going to be the acceptable here.
All right.
Okay. So, Ted, sometimes I will share an idea with you and you will lightheartedly reply, that's not a bad idea.
That's not the stupidest thing you've ever said.
Right. And sometimes I'll then respond with, well, I guess it wasn't a good one either. I tease you over your word choice. Or rather than affirming me with, that's a great idea, sometimes you'll be like, yeah, I've heard worse. Or instead of saying you're right, you'll be like, you're not wrong. So
why do I do that?
I don't know. But
it's kind of a weird thing.
Yeah. Did you not realize that so much?
I guess I do, but now I need to really think about why I do that.
Right. And I'm not picking on you. Like I said, it was just a really good example. And I've used this in an article, so you've already been like, sure, go ahead, share it. So you're being playful. And most of the time, there might be moments if I'm a little sensitive, I'm going to be like, but most of the time, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But I think this example helps illustrate this point, that it's not enough to simply recognize each other's progress and acknowledge it. We also have to be intentional about the vocabulary and the tone we choose when we give praise. You know, because I think the words we say and how we say them make a difference on whether our spouse actually feels affirmed.
Yeah.
Right.
That's great. That's a great point there.
Are you affirming me? Thank
Absolutely.
You. Yes. Okay. So how can we check our tone when we praise each other? Well, I was thinking about that. I was thinking back to, like, let's pretend we're Ted and Ashley early 2000s, like first few years of marriage.
Okay.
So we were having some schedule issues.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And
you're early to bed, early to rise, and I'm late to bed, late to rise.
Or even late. Like, I remember calling you at one point early in our marriage and saying, hey, at like 5, hey, what time are you going to be home? Because I'm working on dinner. But you aren't used to coming home till 7 or 8, 9, you know. And so we kind of had to work through that. And as we started syncing our schedules more, which meant you having to kind of be intentional to try to come home earlier, I could have said, there's two ways I could have responded to you. I could have given you praise in a couple ways. I could have said something like, I noticed that you're getting home a little earlier than you were last week, but you're still coming home later than I'd prefer.
Okay.
Or, I mean, how would you feel if I said that?
It's accurate. It's true.
But
I mean, the first part is sort of positive. The second part is sort of a kick in the...
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, I'm praising you for progress, but then I'm shaming you for your lack of perfection, in a sense. That might not be the intention, but that's how the words could come across.
Okay.
But what if I said something like, I appreciate you getting home earlier today. I notice you've been doing that more regularly, and I really appreciate your effort. I mean, that's much more positive. There's no like, you're still missing my mark.
Yeah. No, I could see how you don't need to include the, hey, can you try to come home a little earlier if you let that part of it go from time to time. So in interaction, you could only include the positive, affirming kind of words.
Well, and the thing is, if we were working on it because we knew it was an issue, we already had the conversation where you knew I was feeling frustrated and disappointed. So it might not be helpful for me to continue to reiterate those feelings every time we talk about it.
Okay.
So that's a thought. I think for most of us, we're likely to continue to make an effort if we feel like what we're already doing is being seen and applauded rather than our shortcomings as we're trying to make progress being denounced.
Right. Right. Because the sort of correction, I might try to do better just to avoid the correction. And maybe that's not the, maybe I shouldn't try to avoid, maybe I shouldn't do things to avoid negativity. Maybe I should do things to, so that it's all positive. We're all positive.
Yeah. Rather than fearing that you're going to make me upset. And so that's why.
The wrath of that.
You do it. But some people might give up and go, well, I can't please this person. Can't please my spouse. So why am I even trying?
Okay.
I mean, I think that's another potential response is, they're just going to criticize me no matter what I do. So
never good enough.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So number 3, keep your praise focused on your spouse. This is one of those that goes, what?
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Okay. So I often equate praise with compliments. And I'm not necessarily wrong, as you would say.
You're not wrong.
Right. Because if you look up the word compliment on like dictionary.com, you know, the definition is an expression of praise, commendation, or admiration. So, I mean, that's pretty straightforward. We have a trusted source that's saying, yeah, praise is expressed through compliments.
Right. There's compliments with an I, not with an E.
Yes, exactly. Right. Okay. But like, okay, what's the last praise you gave someone?
I think I told one of her daughters that her paper was good.
Okay.
I helped her just editing on it and I said, yes, it's a good paper. Good job.
Nice. Okay. Well, that's not going to fit what I'm about to say.
Oh.
But because like, I think one of the last things I said was, I like your shirt. to someone.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
And that's pretty generic, you know, things like, I like your shirt. I thought you did a great job. The pasta is fantastic. They're kind of nonspecific and they're more about me. I liked it.
Oh, interesting.
I think this, you know, rather than what I appreciate about the person I'm praising, like what I appreciate. So, which leaves me wondering, you know, if compliments, at least in the way we're giving them, are enough, like, or is praise best expressed instead through specific encouragement?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually have a quote from Jennifer Rothschild, who I actually worked for several years. Love her. And she explained well the difference between like a compliment and praise. And she said, when you encourage someone, you acknowledge something God already put within them. You celebrate their strengths and point out their potential. I guess I don't have the contrast. I know in the original article that I pulled that from, she kind of goes through the contrast. But I like how she's saying, you know, when you affirm or praise or encourage someone, you're celebrating things about them and noticing the things that God has put in them. And I think, you know, like you make really yummy food.
Sometimes I make blunders.
Yeah, but for the most part. So like you made really good Mexican rice.
I learned how to make Mexican rice finally after all these.
Right. And I think that when I complimented you on that, I wasn't just like, oh, I love the rice. I was like, this is like as good as Mexican restaurants, like the flavoring and seasoning. So it was a way to kind of acknowledge your skill and the time and the thought that you put into it rather than just saying, oh, this is great rice, you know. And I think we can all take time. It takes more effort. It takes more work to step back when we compliment each other, praise each other.
Right. The thing is, when you're specific, it demonstrates that you're taking notice, that you're not just passively or casually, you know, great job, but you're giving it some thought.
Right.
You're giving the person your attention.
And I think we try to do this with our kids, too. Instead of just saying, oh, you did great, we'll be like, I really like how you did this. Or one of our daughters sang at something the other day, and I was like, one of the notes you sang just gave us chills. I mean, that's kind of about us, but it says that her, when she hit that note, it moved us. That might not be the best example, but we always try to be specific with our kids instead of just saying, but I'm not sure I always do that as well with you. So I could be more intentional.
Yeah, I think we all could be.
Yeah. Well, and I sometimes get in moods where I'm a little more, I have weeks where I'm like, it's easier to be critical than praise. And sometimes I don't catch myself for a few days, you know?
Yeah, I have years where it's easier to be critical than offer praise.
You have your, you're not an old man, but you have your grumpy old man moments. Yeah. And I'm like, can we can we keep the conversation positive? Anyway, all right. Mm-hmm. To recap, three ways we can feed our spouse more praise are, one, adopt a grace-filled perspective. Mm-hmm. Two, check our vocabulary and tone of voice. Three, keep our praise focused on our spouse or their strengths.
Yeah, it's real practical. It's like another tool in the toolbox.
Right, which is a lot of what we talk about on here. Mm-hmm. Where we just like to share tools that have helped us.
Sure.
And hopefully help others. All right. Us time challenge?
Yep.
All right.
Yes.
I just kind of phoned it in on this. What do you want to guess?
Feed your spouse more praise.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us on the Team Us podcast. We're looking forward to next time as we keep talking about how grace, commitment, and cooperation can help couples live the everyday moments of marriage together.
Team Us with Ted and Ashley Slater is a production of Life Audio and Salem Media. If you liked what you heard today, please take a second to rate and review the podcast in your favorite podcast app so that more listeners like you can find the show. For more faith-filled, inspirational podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
Hey, Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.